Esther chapter 7. So, Haman has been made to lead Mordecai all around the city square, saying, "This is what shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honour." So he's back at home with his tail between his legs, and his wife Zeresh and his friends say, "Uh-oh, you are beginning to fall before Mordecai and the Jews." And while they're still talking, the king's messengers come to hurry him up to come to Esther's banquet. Now, the night before, Esther had invited Haman and the king to her banquet with the intention, I think, of saying, "Look, please, can you change this decree that's been made to kill all my people?" But she loses her nerve and she just says, when the king says, "What do you want?" She says, "Could you come tomorrow to a banquet at my place?" And so God works through the nervous and the weak. And of course, she was so weak that she hadn't said she was a Jew, a Jewess. She wasn't like Daniel, who was very open with the Persians and told them openly that I'm a Jew and I don't do what you do. She wasn't that strong. So the king and Haman went to eat with Esther the second time. Whilst they were drinking wine, the king again asked her, "Queen Esther, what do you want? I shall give it to you, even up to the half of my kingdom." Queen Esther then replied, and you can imagine her poor little voice shaking, "If it please your great majesty to give me my very humble little request, my request is that I may live and that my people might live. My people and I have been sold to death. If it were nothing not quite as serious than this, even if it was just putting us all into slavery, I wouldn't have said anything and would not have brought it to your attention. But we are about to be killed." So when she says, "I and my people," she is telling the king and everybody in Haman that "I am a Jewess." Then the king asked Esther, "Where is the man who would dare to do such a thing?" And Esther replied, "The enemy, who is our persecutor, is this wicked Haman." Haman stared in great terror and fear at the king and queen. The king was furious. He got up, stomped outside of the room, and went for a walk in the palace gardens. Haman could see that great evil was going to come upon him. So he begged Queen Esther for his life, and he collapsed on Esther's couch when he was begging for mercy. The king returned into the room from the gardens, and he saw Haman slumped on the couch of Esther. He said to his servants, "Get this man right out of here. Get him right out of the palace." The king had no sooner said that than the officers covered Haman's head. And one of them said, "Do you know that Haman has just built a gallows at his house where he wanted Mordecai to be hung, who saved your life, O king? And it is very tall, about 20 or so meters tall." "Well," the king said, "hang Haman on the gallows." So Haman was hung on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai, and then the king's anger was pacified. Wow. Every time you read that, your heart is in your mouth with Esther, just such a young woman, all on her own. And she must have really prayed about that. And, well, she must have felt so relieved afterwards. But all the same, God was working through her. And the wonderful thing is, as I've said, that in this whole book of Esther, you don't find a single reference to the name of God. That doesn't mean God isn't there. Just as we don't see God, we don't see things like the burning bush and things like that in our lives, today, but that doesn't mean that God's not there, that God's not active. God is really active.